Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time.
All right. Before we jump in, I want to give a quick shout out to Ruby. If your phone isn't getting answered live, you're losing jobs. It's that simple. Ruby gives you a professional, friendly, U.S.-based receptionist who answers the phone, books the appointment, and makes that strong first impression, even when you're on the roof or in a meeting. Speed to lead matters more than ever right now. Check them out at theroofercoach.com/Ruby. Let Ruby do the talking. You focus on the work. All right, well, let's get into it. Hey, everybody, what's up? I'm Dave Sullivan, the Roofer Coach. Today's episode is a special one for me because I've got my old co-host from the Roofer Show, John DeLaurier, back on the show. Haven't seen John in a while, so he was one of my first coaching clients. He started a roofing business from scratch, built it up to be a kick-ass business, and eventually sold it. Now he's out traveling the country as co-founder of Proline CRM, and he works with contractors every day, and he sees what's actually working in the market. So the reason I wanted to have him back is simple. A lot of contractors want to start a roofing business. A lot of contractors want to scale. Very few really understand what it takes. So in this conversation, we talk about what it actually looks like to build a roofing business the right way. Profit margins, customer experience, leadership, how to hire, speed to lead, and the numbers you have to know if you want to build a profitable roofing business. If you're thinking about starting, or if you're already running and gunning, just want to tighten things up, this is the episode for you. John DeLaurier, what is going on, man? Good to see you.
What's up, Dave? We've been chatting before like we always do. It's good to see you.
Exactly. Why didn't we just hit record about an hour ago and we'd be done? But it's always good to catch up. It's good stuff. I've got a lot of questions, and I want to get caught up on all this because you talk to contractors every day. I mean, well, we'll get into what you're doing now, but I want to hear what's happening around the country, what guys are doing, what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong. But first, give us a little background from where you came from, running, starting up your roofing business, all the way to selling it. And now what are you doing? And catch us up.
Sure. Yeah. So first roof I ever did was 14 years old on a mission trip, carrying three tabs up a very rickety ladder and driving nails. Terrible roof. And then over, you know, middle school, high school, I started to learn roofing a little bit more and roof people's barns and their rental houses and things like that. Then graduated from University of Georgia. Right after that, it was a terrible time. 2009 was rough. I had a job and then there was no jobs. So I went and worked for a roofing company and worked for a couple of roofing companies, worked my way up from carrying material to sales rep. Then moved to another company, became like a sales manager. Typical situation. They owed me a bunch of money. They couldn't pay me or wouldn't pay me. And so I started my own business. That was about 10 years ago. It's crazy. That's been that long. So we started DeLaurier Roofing. I had that business for 10 years. About a year ago, sold it. And in the middle of owning the roofing business, we started Proline. We really started 2019, but like officially Proline 2021. Proline's been around, and so we've grown that software business to help roofing contractors ever since then. So now I'm the co-founder of Proline, and I do podcasts, and I meet contractors and go to events, try to help people win.
You know, since you left our podcast, being the co-host of this, I mean, downloads have just, well,
they've tanked.
It's
they probably skyrocketed because they don't have me on there anymore.
What are we going to talk about, man? I gotta have the straight man. But let's talk about, we got a couple of things I want to hear about. One, what's going on around the country? What are you seeing? Because you're out at all the shows, talk to contractors every day, and I want to get into that. But also, I'd like to hear about if you were to start up another roofing company, if you were crazy enough to do that. I want to get into how you would do it with what you know now versus the way you did it before. But first, let's talk about what's going on out there. What do you see? I hear things are slowing down, but what's your take?
So when I started going back to 2009, it was obviously a bad economy, right? That was the Great Recession, right? That's what it's called? Yeah. So bad economy, right? Well, I worked for like the number one roofing contractor in my market at that time. And they had record years, year over year over year. So I say that because, yes, it is a slower time in 2025. But the people who are winning really big. And we see a lot of them come to ProLine because they're winning and they want to be more efficient, more effective. So yeah, it's slow all over the place. That's what I see. But for the people who are really understand how to own a business, not just how to be a roofing contractor, they're winning. And that's what I see over and over again. We see good private equity, bad private equity, good franchises, bad franchises, a bunch of, you know, mom and pops that are doing, they're crushing it. And then other people who are just not really doing well. They're either losing profit margins or they're reducing the revenue. And I actually called on ProLine's like back end, we can see usage score. We have like a 0 to 100 score, basically how well you're using the CRM. I called the top about 55 to 60 of our customers, and a lot of people are down, but they're still very profitable as far as revenue goes. So they're understanding, they're keeping their kind of like the target correctly, like looking at profit, not looking at like just sell more. Let's sell more, keep our people busy. That's a foolish way to run a business. Don't do that. So that's what I'm seeing with a lot of contractors. Yes, you may feel like it's slow. If it's slow, it is slow everywhere. But the people who are winning and understanding how to be efficient and they're being lean and they're using technology, those people are winning. They are really profitable in 2025, and I can see them growing in 2026.
I like that, you know, because we always talk about how you don't have to keep chasing that revenue. It's all about the margin. So why work harder? Make less money, as we were talking about. So
yeah,
it's there. The guys are doing well, but the pie is shrinking. That's what I see. And you have to go out and get that bigger piece of pie. And the guys that are doing it and really out there hustling, doing it right, they can always be successful. I mean, when I was running my business, some of our best years were in downtimes. And I've gone through some pretty slow times, you know, real recessions. It's available. You just got to do it. But I agree. So what else are you seeing? What are guys doing right, wrong? Give us a little more insight.
Yeah. So kind of the mind shift from like, I do a thing for my customer. That mindset is kind of an old way of thinking. All the other industries that are successful, they think the opposite. They think, okay, how well can I serve my customer? Can I serve that customer? And what does that customer experience actually look like? People that say customer experience, blah, 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 5-star, blah. If you're thinking like that, you're going to lose. If you were thinking like, all I care about is my customer experience, you will win. It's very simple. It's very hard to do. Very simple mindset, though. We live outside of Savannah, Georgia, and the Savannah Bananas have gone kind of national, international. They're very popular. I knew about him a long time ago. I read his book, and I met him in the playground. Actually, he has foster kids, and they were it was just me and him and our kids in the playground right before he went on tour. And even in person, it's just fan first, fan first, fan first, fan first. If you think about that one more fan, then they're winning. They're having success. The same is true for roofing contractors. If you think about your customers first, and that's all you care about, from leadership down, you will win. And a lot of that has to do with using technology, leveraging technology to help you have a better customer experience. But that is exactly what you have to do. You will win if you care about your customers more than like your own pocket, because the money will come if you take care of your customer.
But you've got to have leadership in your business, set mm-hmm. that as a culture. And this is what's so difficult for so many contractors to do. And I'll talk to these guys, and you can tell right off if they're leaders, if they are capable of growing a business like that. And I think that's the biggest problem that I see. You know, they think, oh, my sales are great and so on and so forth. But now you start
talking with, you know, you've got more employees, you've got more salespeople that you've got to control, and keeping that culture and building that strong culture, customer-oriented culture, is difficult.
Yeah, it's way, like you have coached for many years, coached me, why are you doing this? Like, what's your why? Don't do this. It's really hard. You're trying to coach people out of being a business owner because it's super hard. It's way more complicated than you think. There's way more painful lessons that you will experience that you have no idea. There's a number of questions I would ask somebody that if they can't say yes to, they just shouldn't start one. And a big part of that is what you just said is, can they lead people with more than just financial KPIs? Do you care about company culture? Do you care about your customer? Like, if you don't care about this stuff, you're going to lose the best talent. You're going to lose all these great sales reps, production managers, office staff, like all that, you're going to lose them. So you really, it's good because homeowners are winning because they expect way more from their roofing contractor. So if you're willing to step up to that level, you will be successful.
Okay, I want to take a quick pause here to thank our sponsor, and that is SMA Support. As your roofing company grows, the chaos usually grows with it. Production, tracking, supplements, admin work, job follow-up. That's where SMA Support comes in. They help roofing companies simplify their operations so you're not stuck buried in a back end of the business. If you want cleaner systems and fewer fires to put out, check them out at smasupport.us. Tell them Dave sent you. All right, well, back to it.
I see two different type of contractors. And, well, you're right about the first ones that I think, you know, I got a pretty good feel of whether these guys are going to make it or not, you know, after talking with them and so forth. So a lot of the contractors I try to talk out of going into business, you know, which is, they don't like to hear that, but you can see that. But the ones that may not be the greatest managers, leaders, you can still run a great business because if you set it up correctly, you know, really like your business, the example that I like to use is Brian Huff, you know, I mean, there's a friend of ours that runs a business, doesn't have any employees for the most part, uses SMA, uses the technology, and has that support. But he can go out and sell $4 million on your own, make a lot of money, have a pretty good lifestyle, and you don't have all these employees running around. Or you want to start growing your business and say, okay, well, I'm going to take on all this staff. It's a whole different thing, and you better understand that. And that's what we really drill down on is, you know, what do you want? Well, let's get into, you know, because we were talking earlier about you're doing a series on your podcast, which we'll get into in a minute, but if you were to start over again, do it again. So I'd love to hear that because that's what so many contractors want to know. You know, how do I start a roofing business? And what's up with that? Everybody wants to start a roofing business. These guys are coming out of the woodwork, know nothing about construction or whatever, they're coming from different fields, and they usually end up buying these franchises and they just don't do well. But tell me what you would do. And we always start off with our why, and why the hell would you want to do that again?
So true. It is super stressful. I just thinking about it gives me hives a little bit. But if I was going to do it, and what I say is going to be for me, that's a personal thing. But it's also going to be hugely location-based. And we didn't really talk about that a lot, but as I've been talking to a lot of contractors all over the country, their why changes because the market is different in different parts of the area of the country. If you're in a store market or a retail market, you really need to know your market well. You do not need to just say, I'm going to start any kind of business if you don't know your market really well. So if I was going to start, it would be the why. It would be like, okay, I want to provide for my family. I want to have, if you say I want to have freedom and you're just starting out, that's funny. That's hilarious. Get ready to work a lot, more than you've ever worked for years. I didn't feel like I really was making any money and had a breath of fresh air for 4 years. And I was in a really small college town market. I mean, it can be different for everyone, but like you really need to have those expectations. It's going to be way harder if you have a spouse or kids, they're going to suffer. just know that that's true. But if I was going to start, the why is huge. Know your why. What I say is going to be different than everybody else. Where I live is going to be different than everybody else. That's the first thing. I'm talking about days. Maybe go to a hotel room with your wife and just write on a whiteboard for 2 days and figure out what this is, what it's going to look like. That's the serious kind of thing I'd be doing, because you're making a major life decision that will affect you drastically. That's what I would do. Get aligned with your family. That's the first thing.
Everybody has their own meaning of success, and yep. Stop looking at what everybody else is doing, listening to all these gurus or whoever it is. I'll have, new contractors come to me and I'll say, well, what do you want to do? Why are you here? They all want to do $10 million in business. They all want to be able to do this, be big. I want to have a big company so I can sit around and pound my chest. I go, well, why do you want to do that? And we start drilling down. And as you say, okay, you got little kids, got family, but they always want to have free time. Well, if you're going to grow and scale a roofing business, you're never going to see your kids at all. I mean, you're going to be working your butt off. And you have to realize that if you're ready to commit to that and understand it. And then is that what success is for you? I mean, everybody has to decide that. And until you really have that dialed in, I think you're going to struggle.
Yeah. I would. So again, this is really hard to answer because everybody has a different, desire, or they live in a different place with different resources. If it was me, I do a lot of stuff. We have a lot of people that are starting out, but we have tons of people who are super successful, north of 10 million, 20 million. We have franchises on ProLine platform. But if it's for me, I'm going to look at my market, look at the average income, like the cost of living. And I'm going to say, this is the average cost of living. I want to be higher than that. You can even look at like regular physicians. You can look at like average attorneys in the area. That's how much I want to make. Because certain attorneys make $300,000, certain make $1 million everywhere. Like, you got to understand, that's the type of like thought process you need to have. Don't be looking at revenue ever. Look at, okay, how much profit can I take? And then that's how I would reverse engineer the money side of things. Adam Sand talks about this a lot. You and I have talked about this a lot, but revenue per capita. So how much revenue, and you have to be hitting your profit margins. You got to know that. This is a whole long thing about knowing your profit. But how much revenue are you producing at the right profit margin per person on your, it's easy for me because it's on the CRM platform. If you got 5 people on the CRM platform that are doing office work, I want to be doing at least $4 million. That's the lowest number. I equate it to roughly $750,000 to $800,000 per person. That's what I would consider in 2026 is an acceptable amount for revenue at the right profit margin per capita in your business. I've gone through those 55, 60 customers, and a lot of them are way lower than that. I'm like, it's time to let people go. Because you're gonna go out of business if you have 11 people and you're doing 6 million. You're not gonna be around. So it's really hard. I know that's hard. I've had to let go of people before too. But if you want to stay afloat, and it's your duty to your business and to your family, you need to make sure that you understand in 2026, it's probably gonna be about $750,000 to $800,000 of revenue with good profit per person who's on your CRM platform. We're not talking about crews. We're not talking about everybody outside doing production. And we're talking about like people who are getting paid on payroll, and that ranges all over the place, but that's roughly what I would be looking at. And for me, $4 to $5 million, because I know what the net profit should be at that level. I know that that's going to be higher than most attorneys and physicians in my market. Very low stress, but I have a business that can run by itself, because I'll have 3 other people or 4 other people, depending on how I run my business. And if I go on vacation for 2 weeks, like you always say, it will keep running. That's an ideal situation for me. Now, some people don't want that. They want way bigger. But what I see over and over and over again is if you can get that business between $4 and $5 million in 2026 dollars, and let's talk about profit margins. I think it needs to be at least 35% gross profit. Most people are like, I can't do that. Well, then you're not creating enough value, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. If you're at 20 to 25%, I think that you're barely living. And if you think that you're just going to do more volume and that's going to work, that won't work. I think you need to be at least 35% profit. And we're talking retail again. This is selling retail and residential. If you're at 35% gross profit, 4 to 5 million, you take home 8 to 12% net plus a W-2 salary, that's a great life. I think that is a winning scenario for most people. Because if you get hurt, like I am hurt right now, I can't walk right now because my leg's torn up. The company still runs. I love Brian Huff, but if he gets hurt, he's screwed.
Right. Yeah, that is true.
So I think he has a great business, but he really, you like have talked about this, he has a job too, more than a business. Because if he gets hurt, he is screwed. I've challenged him on that. Like, you need to have at least one person who can go to job sites, manage the job site, and climb roofs. One, just one. That's the bare minimum. If you can't get to that, it's either you problem, and a slow economy too, but you got to have one person to help you. You have to have one. And
this is also, you know, I mean, you came from the insurance business and we've talked about this. You've got to have a good disability insurance policy.
Yep. I'm actually about to increase my disability insurance because I was an insurance agent, 6 times more likely to die prematurely or to get disabled prematurely,
right,
than to die prematurely. 6 times more likely. And you see all the time on Facebook, all these roofers, they don't even fall off the roof. They just have health issues. They can't get in the truck. Like right now, my wife and I cannot drive. I can't drive because like my leg doesn't work. She had surgery. She can't drive. That's devastating to most people. So get disability insurance. That's a side note. You should definitely do it.
Definitely. I agree.
Northwestern Mutual, whoever you want to get it with. Yeah. So that's my why. That's how I'd start. That's it. I know that's a lot of things, but I think most people, and you see this, Dave, they just don't think about this stuff. They don't take the time to write in all of these things. I mean, I have dozens of these. This is from 2020. Like, that's 6 years ago, and I have tons of them. I was looking at it yesterday. Like, take time. This is a business. This is a very huge deal, huge decision. This is not like, I can sell roofs or I can build roofs. It's not that. It's not that. You got to really think about it. So that's what I'd do. Start off. I would really know my why. I'd get a lot of my family. I would understand my market. I would don't go on Facebook and ask people. Like, you need to meet with coaches for real. Like, you need to meet people like Dave. You need to do that kind of thing that people have seen this over and over and over again. They have a lot of reps with a lot of different people. That's what you need to be doing. And paying for coaching. For the love of God, pay for coaches. Like, do you want to lose $1 million your first year, or would you like to pay a small fee comparatively to losing? I mean, I've been sued. I've lost hundreds of thousands of dollars that could be in my pocket if I had just learned beforehand. So it's a huge decision. That's what I would say. That's a lot of words for like, this is a big decision. You should treat it like that. That's what I would say.
You know, we did a great episode on why you should stay off Facebook and stay out of those Facebook groups, because there's so much misinformation. It's unbelievable. And most of it's just wrong. Don't use that as your business coach or your research and so forth. This is not a good place to be. You've got the numbers correct. And I love that how you're starting off reverse engineering, starting at the bottom. And there's all kinds of ways to figure this out, but you have to know these numbers. And you start with that, where you're coming from. Okay, well, we'll start with the salary that I need. This is how much money I need to make. That's great. Okay, now we talk about overhead. How many people are we going to need to do this? And what kind of structure do I want? And you're exactly right, is per capita, how much business do we have to produce to have each of these employees? And so many companies that I see have too many people, you know, particularly these family businesses. You know, this is the Family Full Employment Act, you know, where you've got brothers, sisters, everybody, okay, come into the business, and they're just not generating enough money. you know, enough revenue and profit. So starting off the way that you've done it and come up from the bottom, reverse engineer that, and that's going to tell you what the sales, the revenue is that you're going to need at the gross profit you're going to need to have enough gross profit dollars flowing back down to take care of all these things. So, okay, you've got your why figured out. We know what we're going to do. We understand our numbers. So go on. How are we going to do this? We're going to start off the business, and what are we going to do? We've got to come up with a name. We've got to build a brand. We've got to do all these things. First off, we've got to have a ton of money, ton of cash to get this thing started. And that's where so many people, you know, the days I think of running this on a shoestring, as they say, from the start, it's pretty much gone. What do you think?
Yeah, that's definitely gone. I was in the very tail end of that being acceptable. I can barely say my name. I don't even pronounce it correctly. Most people cannot say my name. Gelati Roofing is a very terrible brand. It's what we ran on for years and years and years. Take the branding seriously. And again, I had no money. People owed me thousands of dollars of commission. My back was against the wall. And so I created this all. I had the same thing. Like, look, little roof, little name, like, don't do that. You cannot do that. The customer experience, they expect more from you. And so the next thing after you are aligned with like, these are the things you want to accomplish financially, personally, professionally, financially. You want to accomplish those things. Great. Take your brand seriously. Like really think about what your logo is going to look like. Are you going to be unique? Are you going to be memorable? Are you going to be different? If you're using blue, black, or navy, blue, black, or red, you're screwed. Don't do that. Don't use.
Hey, wait a minute. I've got the blue with the little roof on there for my.
I know. I got blue. I got blue and white and black right there. I know. Oh, also, there's another mistake. Gelati Roofing Renovation. That's how it started. Don't do 7,000 things. I'm going to tell you right now. 3 is all you can do. 3, roofing, gutters, trim. That's it. And trim, I hated to do. Even gutters, I didn't love to do. I know people are successful with this, but I'm telling you, starting out, do maximum of 2 things when you start out. Roofing and gutters. That's it. This, don't do kitchens and baths like I used to do. Don't do all that crap. We did $1 million our first year in 2016. Yeah, great. We didn't make any money because we did all these $70,000 remodel. Like, stupid. Don't do that. Don't do that. $1 million by myself first year, basically nothing, knew nothing, and I didn't make any money. Don't do that.
Do
not do that.
Too many people already do that. Okay. Don't do that.
Don't do that. So this is part of branding though. You need the name matters. Are you able to find good, all right, we ran into a whole thing. Are you ready to get sued for things? Do you understand your trademark? Like these have all happened to me. Have you been served? Like, can you handle that? First of all, if you can't handle any of that, don't go into business. You need to come up with a name that is able to trademark. That's the ideal situation. If you can come up with a name that people can understand what you do, but it's not a real name and you can trademark the term, you win. You win at that point because no one can sue you for your name and it's super memorable. And if you have a good logo, all the things are good. SEO, all those things are amazing. You will dominate your market because your name is not a real word. That's a tip that I learned at the very end. I should have done that. I wish I'd known that 10 years ago. But just know that that's super true. The word roofing does matter, but we won't get into details of SEO. But that's a huge mistake I made. Branding.
Let me jump into this because the mistake I think so many contractors make is that they're designing all of this for themselves, for their ego. Who are you speaking to? You're speaking to,
I love that,
you know, the homeowner, Mrs. Jones. So what does that say to them? Because that's all that matters is, you know, having some kind of cool logo and, this is really cool, you know, doesn't matter. Nobody cares. you know, it's all about them, and you better be speaking very, very clearly, speaking to your ideal customer. And what does that say to them? I think that's 100%. Where what branding is all about. How are you memorable? You know, your logo and so forth. How's this going to look on a wrap truck when you're driving down the highway at, you know, 60 miles an hour?
Yep.
Or you're pulled up in front of the neighbor's house and so forth. Those are the things that you've got to think about. Why are you branding? Go read the book. Kickstarter?
Kickcharge.
Yep.
Dan Antonelli. Yeah. Dan Antonelli. That was one of my like high tier. It's 30 grand plus to get branded, right? This is why what you said is true. Like, don't go into this broke because this is a huge deal.
Yep.
Also, another massive mistake. $110,000 I wasted on. So you can spend $30,000 now, or you can waste four times that later or more. If you have a big business, it's like hundreds of thousands of dollars. Your brand matters. Also, side note, I had from the very beginning, I didn't have new trucks. Obviously, didn't have any money, but I had a nice, I think it cost like $600, $700, $800 to do nice vinyl, professionally done. Do not do the vinyl yourself. Have somebody design it. It's not expensive. If you have zero money, do that. But I really regret not fully wrapping my vehicles. I really regret that. Because when we wrapped that, the last couple of years of the business, it was crazy. People already thought they saw our trucks everywhere. When we wrapped our vehicles, it was over. They thought they saw us every day. Because the design was really good. So that's part of branding too. $6,000 to $10,000 per vehicle to wrap it.
Yep. Totally.
This is all
that is the first thing that you do. Job signs, you know.
Yep. Job signs and door, all that stuff is super cheap.
Hangers.
The vehicle matters. It really matters. If you're a one man show, wrap the vehicle, spend the $8,000 to $10,000, whatever it is, it's so worth it. You will sell more jobs because of that full wrap. If it's done well, like you just said, Dave, you have to think about, don't put a bunch of letters on there. Don't put a bunch of, like, put a QR code to go a roofle and put maybe your website. Like, you may not even need to put, don't need to put a phone number or a website. Nowadays, you don't really need that. Yeah. You're driving. However you want to be contacted, put one simple thing on there and then a massive logo and a massive name. And then just a really creative, unique rep. That's what you need. Dan Antonelli, Kickcharge, they do that really well. It is worth it. I wish I had done that. I had no money, but I would have actually changed. I would have sacrificed even more if I could have done that earlier. It's so impactful.
Great tip. All right. So we've got our brand. We know what we're going to do. Let's say we've identified our ideal customer, who we're going to work for, because we have to know that before we have our truck wrap, our logo, and any of that, our website, having a good website that speaks to that ideal customer, not you, not what you think is cool and all these great photos and so forth. What does it say to that ideal customer? And when they come there, how do you convert them into an appointment? That's what that's all about. And that's what matters. You've got to have something that's memorable. People are going to see, they're going to think about, and it just saves you so much money in marketing also, you know, trying to get out there and do these paid leads and this and that with, you know, Joe Schmo Roofing doesn't work.
Yeah. And again, I know we're beating a dead horse again, but ideal customer profile, ICP, ideal customer profile, ideal customer. It connects to branding. It connects to your website. Once again, to your point, Dave, don't do like something aggressive and angry if your ideal customer is a 56-year-old female who's a homeowner with grand. Like, don't serve yourself. Serve your customers. That will bleed into your website design, bleed into your branding, bleed into your mission statement. All those things are important. They are more important than your ego. If you want to win, you got to go this way. And it's not going to be like what you would do. I don't hunt, I don't fish, but if my market was heavy into that, I would lean into like, this is what my customers want. Like that, you have to think about your customer before yourself. And everything you're saying is exactly right. But it really matters to think about those things before you like get ready for a hook to build your website. That's not a good position. You need to actually have at least some sort of framework of what you want the website to communicate to your ideal customer.
But let's talk about our tech stack. Now we're starting this business off. We need automations. We need to make this easier. We need to be able to track all this stuff. I can't have things falling through the cracks all the time. But we talked about it earlier, and you're saying that these things are all, you know, like ProLine, for instance, is combining a lot of this in there where you don't need all this additional programs that we've talked about over the years.
Yeah. So nobody wants to pay for software. We're doing roofing, right? Nobody wants that. So when we started ProLine, we knew we wanted to create something that did something for you. Tagline is like the CRM that sells jobs for you or helps you sell more jobs. How does that happen? Going back to understand your ideal customer profile and understanding like the customer experience. When customers come to your website or they find a form online or however they find you, you better respond instantly. That's the key. That's what every homeowner expects it, especially if water's coming in their roof. They need their problem solved right now. If you don't solve their problem within about 30 to 45 seconds, they're going to call your competitor. Or they're going to Google it again. Or they're going to ChatGPT it again.
Lead. Mm-hmm.
So, speed to lead. We hear this all the time. Does your website have a form that instantly responds? Does it or not? Like, do you run Facebook ads? Do you run Google ads? How do you get customers? If all of those lead sources do not have an instant response, you're going to lose. You're losing revenue massively, huge sales, just because you're not responding instantly. And if you say, I'll get to it, or it gets routed and we get to them within 10 minutes or 5 minutes, you lose. You lose. We're talking about seconds. You have to be seconds instantly responding from a real person's phone, not some random 6-digit response. If you got Kathleen at your office answering the phone in real life, Kathleen's phone better send that text message and that email to that prospect immediately. So that if it's 9 o'clock at night, Kathleen's going to get a text message and the next day, she can respond in real time from the same phone number. That's a huge thing that it still shocks me to this day. I'm sure. Do it right now. Pick your town, pick a home service, and then call 3 to 5 different companies and see who doesn't answer or you get which voicemail. It'll be shocking. You'd be like, this is crazy. If you're the number of times we said, you answer the phone, we got their business. They were frustrated. They called 3 other companies and nobody answered, or they answered and they're like, oh yeah, yeah, a sales rep's going to call you back. What? What are you talking about? No, I'm going to get on the schedule right now. What's the next available? Boom, done. That has to happen. If you're not doing that and you're not just laser focusing on and testing it on your own company all the time. And I would call our company and I would test all the time. And I'd be like, hey, what's up? Oh, hey. Like if you get that, your entire company just laser focused on speed to lead alone, you'll win. You won't be worried about, I need more leads. How do you get more leads?
Right.
Because you're answering every single lead that comes through every single time, 24/7, 365, doesn't matter. I don't care if you don't like AI. I don't care if you like automations. I don't care if you don't like VAs. Your competitor is going to be doing that. So you better be doing that right now. That's the thing that drives me crazy. The companies of all home service types don't focus on that because they'll win. And we did because of that.
You know, we talked about how the pie is shrinking. You've got to do more with less. And those, any opportunities that come in, those things are gold. And you better treat them right and make sure that you're going through that sales process every step of the way. And it starts with that. It starts with leaving that great first impression. And if you don't, I mean, the idea that you're going to have somebody, that somebody's going to call in and leave a message on your voicemail, not going to happen. They're just going to go down until they can find a live person or somebody to respond to immediately. You lose, as you said, you lose so much money because of this. You've got to start there. That's the first step, the first touch of that customer. It better be a good one. So, agreed.
Yep. HVAC company in our market just got bought by private equity. They're just amazing. They have it all set. They have it all down. They're the most, guess what? They're the most expensive, and we use them every single time. Why would you use them? They're so expensive. Guess what? They answer the phone every single time. And if it's after hours, they have an answering service. And then they text message you when their technician's on the way. And then the technician calls you when they're on the way. That's too much. No. It's exactly what the customer expects. They expect all of those things. Mm-hmm. I can't do it. I forget. Doesn't matter. Not an excuse anymore. You'll go out of business. You will.
Yep. I agree.
Have to do it.
Okay. So we've got our tech set up. We're going to bring in all these opportunities. How do we get more? What do we do? What's working in marketing these days? What would you do? What do you hear from all these contractors of what's working, what's not?
Yep. Great question. Again, this is different market, retail, insurance, all those things matter. And what I say is not necessarily going to be exactly what you should do, but it's going to be a good framework. I learned a lot from Brad Akers about neighborhood domination. Brad Akers, you even heard about him. He does this. It's unique. I haven't seen anybody else do the same thing where there is a sales strategy for every appointment. You're trying to, what you said for years, Dave, for every job sold in a neighborhood, try to get one more job.
Right.
It's the same exact thing, but it gives you a framework of what to do. So I'd train my team on what Brad teaches, which is essentially getting more sales touches with yard signs, door hangers, postcards, and you're making sure that every single appointment that you have, the neighbors of your appointment also know you're there. They're like, I see you everywhere. That's just for the inspection. Then I'm paraphrasing the whole training. Then during build day, you make it even more of a big deal. Again, your door hanging, your yard signing, your postcarding. So that it's undeniable. The number of times that we didn't do that before I met Brad, where we did this one neighborhood, Silverleaf, shout out to Silverleaf in Athens. It's probably about 50 or 60 homes, nice homes, all brick, those big mansions in this little neighborhood. We did about 14 or 15 of those roofs, I think, in about an 18-month period from random things. Some of it was storm, some of it was retail. But we did a whole cul-de-sac and a whole road, and like the number of neighbors that never even called us because I didn't do my job of neighborhood domination was sickening. I'm like, we're doing across street neighbor. We have a yard sign. Okay. We have trucks. Great. But we're talking about like, this is Athens, Georgia, and they were getting Atlanta, Georgia contractors to come do the roof. They never even reached out to us. That is my fault as a leader. You have to dominate the neighborhood. So from as far as marketing goes, that's the easiest like thing to do, to just learn that process first. You know you're answering every single lead that comes through. So your first appointment, you have a plan to dominate that neighborhood. Boom, you're going to dominate the neighborhood. They're going to know who you are. They're going to have at least 4 postcards, at least 2 yards, at least 2 door hangers. They're going to see yard signs. They're going to see your trucks at minimum. And so that is a very low acquisition cost. We talk about customer acquisition costs a lot.
Totally.
Mine was like $1,500 because we're doing all this other crap. You got to get it way below $1,000 to acquire a customer. That's how you do it. So marketing, just like profit margin, not talking about revenue. Oh, I sell $30,000 roofs. Good for you. How much does it cost to acquire a customer? $2,000. You're losing. You're losing. If it's costing that much money to get a $30,000 roof, you're losing. You can't do that. In residential roofing, you cannot do that. So you have to lower your acquisition costs. Same as you have to increase your profit margin. Same thing. The way you do that with marketing is answer every single phone call, every single web form. You show up on time. You do this process that Brad Akers does. And that's the easiest way to start. Going back to the vehicle wraps, that was another way we just dominated. If you can do vehicle wraps. And if in my scenario, if you're going to be a $4 to $5 million company, huge billboards campaigns really don't meet the marketing budget that you would have for that, depending on your market. But that's another thing I would do. Billboards are brand recognition. But if you have 5 trucks out on the road and you have 5 billboards on the road, it's going to feel like you're everywhere. It's going to feel like you have 50 trucks. So I know we only had 2 for a long time. One time we only had 1. And they said they saw me every day. I'm like, okay, great. So these are all like very practical things that I would be doing kind of start out. I wouldn't, at my scenario, I wouldn't run Google ads. Doesn't really make sense. Local service ads are kind of tanking a little bit. Google has a new thing where you definitely want to be on this, which I never experienced, which is, I think it's called Get Estimates, or are you aware of this? Google just added a button like a couple weeks ago. Basically, everybody pays for it, but if you're in the top four, Google is going to see, do you do good SEO? Are you on ChatGPT? Are you on all the AI platforms? Do you have relevance in your market for your service? Then you're going to pay for every single one of those leads, but you're going to be in the top four is what I understand. I would dominate that too. I would really dominate that and try to just be on one of those, because that's where people are going to find you anyway. That's what I'd be doing for marketing initially.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little more about that, because those are great. So far, we haven't really spent any real money, because all we're doing is we have our process, and we're doing it every day, every time, consistently. Every lead, speed lead, boom. Everybody knows us. We built this great brand where not only people see us everywhere, but they see us and they go, wow, these are the guys that I need. This is what I'm looking for. These are the guys that if I had to get a new roof, this is who I'd call. That's what you want. And yep. Dominating the neighborhoods, you know, as you say, or, you know, for every job we get in the neighborhood, we want to get one more. Think about how much business that is. I mean, what you can do with that, if you can get an additional job, it's huge. And that acquisition cost is going to come down. You're right. And likewise, if we do our SEO properly. So how are we going to do that? What should we do? Do we need to spend a bunch of money? But what we need is, how do we get to that position, you know, for instance, on the map? So the map pack, if we can do that and move up on our rankings, we are going to get a lot more leads and consistently over time. And again, bringing that customer acquisition cost down. What kind of things that we can do without spending a lot of money?
So one thing we did towards the tail end of my roofing business was every Thursday from 9 to 12, we filmed content. At a small little local marketing company, I highly recommend this part. You find somebody who's passionate about telling stories. It's not you on the roof talking about roofing, because nobody cares about that. We would do things like, we had this skit called Mike and Jenny. I'm not an actor, but I had our friend who loves to act, and she would be my like video wife, and Jenny would, we'd talk about like this, the roofer's coming, and we tell this whole like multi-part series, and it was funny. It got tons. Some of our stuff got tens of thousands of views. Guess what? They're on our website. They're clicking our links. They're getting, that's another, you have to do content. And again, just like the thinking about branding, you can't just put out infographics every day about what to expect with roofing and how to do underlayment. Those are fine. But here's the ratio. 80% of the content you do, and you better do at least one piece of high quality, not just quantity, high quality content every single day on every single social media platform, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, anything, LinkedIn, all the stuff. You have to do one piece of content every single day. 80% of that better be something other than roofing. Mm-hmm. It just better be. It can be a trending thing. I hate all that stuff. I do it anyway. We did dad jokes on the beach. What? We just came up with, like, what? The point is, again, going back to Savannah Bananas, his big thing is attention. It's attention. Attention is literally everything. Same way with neighborhood domination. Attention. I have your yard signs, your door hangers, all this, like, attention. That's marketing. Now, it has to be good attention, right? You don't want negative attention, but if you have a good brand with a good logo that's unique, that's different, and it's everywhere, or at least the perception is everywhere, and it's you're doing it at a lower cost, filming 3 hours a week is not that hard to do. I was terrible at the beginning. I just had to do it every single week. It's just consistency and making sure that you get the footage that you need to get. And then they edit it, and it's all scheduled. We have a bunch of technology now. It's edited with AI, and then you just schedule it. And you don't have to, it's not like a huge laborious thing, but that's a low cost thing that it is essential to every business now. And there's a bunch of memes about it's like that sad emoji where you're a roofing contractor and you realize now you have to be a content creator. Sorry, you do.
Yep.
So sorry. That's what you are now. Every single person out there has a personal brand, whether you like it or not. And every single person has some sort of content that customers expect them to have.
What we started talking about was that business is changing. You better get with the program or you're going to be gone. And this is the direction it's going, whether you like it or not. I mean, get on with it, and this is how you're going to be successful. You know, you're running a business. Doesn't matter if you're selling shoes or selling roofs. You are now running a business, and you better understand how to run that business, how to get out there and market, how to get attention. And that's what it's going to be, the future. Okay, so are you going to have a sales team? What's going to happen? Who's going to go sell this $4 million?
To your point, Dave, the first million will be sold by me, the owner.
Got it.
And that's it. That's not that many roofs. Come on. You got to sell some roofs. So let's just make it easy numbers. Average roof size, how many you got to sell a year? What's your close rate? Average roof size, how many you got to sell a year? What's your close rate? Make it real easy. 1 out of 3. For every 3 proposals, you sell 1. Now, if you're with Top Rep, you better sell 50%. So I'm not going to do that.
Right.
But let's make it easy. Let's make it real low bar easy. It's around 50 to 55 roofs a year in most markets. Let's make it a little more realistic for the lowest end markets. Let's call it 70. It's actually 72 is what the very lowest number, low ticket as far as that goes. So 72. So it's a little more than one a week. A little more than one a week you have to sell. That's about 180 to 200, depends on what your close rate is. Let's call it 200 proposals a year. That's what it is. 200 proposals a year, you're going to do $1 million. They better all be instantly generated. You order EagleView, your GAF quick measure, whatever measuring tool you have, it's instantly done. Your price list is with all of the suppliers is done. You can build a proposal in 5 minutes. That better be happening anyway. That's what Proline does. A lot of other platforms do that too, but you better have a very accurate, very profitable, very quick proposal system. It's beautiful. That tells the customer story, has all the pictures of the problems of the roof with all of your solutions for that problem. This is a whole nother, you can do a whole podcast on just proposals.
Right. Yeah.
200 of those a year, you'll do $1 million. That's the first person. That's the owner has to do that. You got to. You can't not do that. It's too expensive to hire somebody who can't do that. You said this for years, Dave. You said this for years.
Yeah. Also, you know, you have to learn your sales process. Okay. So you have to understand what your customers want, what they're talking about, how to overcome these objections. And you have to get that part down so you can write your SOPs. Because if you can't do that and you don't really understand that, you can't hire additional people. You can't bring on another salesman because you're going to have to teach them exactly how to do it. This is our process. This is what works. Contractors that say, I don't really like sales and so forth, you're in the wrong business. You've got to get out there and do that. You've got to understand how that works. Okay, so are we going to hire some people or what are we going to do to get the rest of that $4 million?
So at that point, you're finishing your first year. Let's paint a picture. You're finishing your first year. You're going to hit $1 million. You're great. But you hit the profit margin. Most importantly, to your point before we hit record, I'm doing $1 million. I want to do 5 or whatever the number is. Will you make money? Yes or no? You really have to be honest with yourself. Are you making money at $1 million? If you're not, don't grow. Mm-hmm. Do a whole nother at least 6 months or a year and then figure out you're hitting the highest level that your market will allow. the highest profit margin. We were always the highest. We made, in many cases, because I would ask other people, other sales reps, other company owners, they were doing double the revenue and making less profit than we were.
Right.
I was like, what are you doing? First of all, you're ruining the market because now everyone expects this price point. So you're burning the candles at both ends. You're working a million hours a week and I make the same money you make and I work half what you work. Like it literally makes no sense. So you always want to be the highest profit margin. We got the comment all the time. Thanks so much for following up because Proline did the automations follow up all the time. I'm so sorry I haven't gotten back with you. You were just the most expensive, but you're the only one who followed up. So we're going with you. We're talking about thousands of dollars higher. Thousands. If you think that you can't hit 35% gross profit, you are not showing value. You are not showing a good customer experience. Going back to what I said at the beginning, you don't understand your customer, your ideal customer, and you don't care about the customer experience. If you care about those things, the customer, you can charge a premium price for a premium service. And to your point, Dave, when you hire sales reps, you're going to have that confidence because you're like, this is why we charge 42% gross profit on all the jobs. Because this is what this cost. This is, and it's all in Proline. So you can see exactly what every single job makes. Why does that have to be that expensive? Because we are the best. And we will have the best customer experience. And if there's ever a problem, we're going to have enough money to pay for somebody to go back and fix it. All those reasons why we were the best. And we had two really well-established competitors in our first market. Very well. And we beat them all the time. And we'd be more expensive than them sometimes. That's how you have to start the first million like that. If you can make the first year and you do a million by yourself and you hit 35% or higher gross profit margin, then it's time to hire a sales rep. You get them in top rep or you get them in sales transformation group, SDG or top rep. You spend the money. I don't care. Do it. You just made 35% profit. You have $350,000. You better not have bought a boat. You better not have bought a $100,000 stupid truck with a stupid jacked up lift. You're an idiot. I want you to go out of business if that happens. Because you just wasted all that money on something you could have invested in the future. You deserve it. So another thing about branding is that we never had jacked up trucks. We always had work trucks, steel wheels. It was very clear. It was a work truck, but very professional. That's another side note. I just think that you're an idiot if you do jacked up trucks.
I agree. Okay, so we're going to bring on a sales guy. We're going to send him to a top rep, learn how to sell, learn the process. But how are we going to get this guy? How do you get him? How do we recruit them? How do we train them? How do we retain them?
So, because you've gotten 72 reviews, let's be fair. You've gotten 55-star reviews because not everybody writes a 5-star review. You got 55-star reviews. Your branding is everywhere all over the town. People know you. They respect you. Their website's professional. You look professional. You're always walking around with your logo everywhere you go because you are the brand. People come to you. Shockingly, they came to us. They would call. Production crews would message me on Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp all the time. And sales reps would message me, email me, find my website, fill out a website form all the time. I don't understand this idea. Like, I can't find people. That's on you. Because they would come to me. I did Indeed one time. I didn't even hire. I had like all these people wanting to work for me. I had like out of 40 people in a day, I had 6 really great candidates. I didn't even hire any of those. I didn't even interview them because somebody else referred me. They figured I was hiring. Hey, I just literally put, I'm looking for X thing. This is the thing. This is what I expect. First person, great referral, amazing A+ player. That's how you hire the first sales rep. They come to you. They get referred to you. You have to have a sales process. Like Dave, you just said it. You have to know like who your ideal customer is. You've done all these sales. You've seen the process. You may change your, like, I thought I like this person, but I really like these people. That's fine. You know it now. Clear expectations. Hey, I expect you to sell 72 roofs next year. It's going to take 200 proposals. You better be willing to do that. If you're not, not going to work out. That's the minimum. Yep. And so then you rinse and repeat that same process.
Exactly. We're not talking about anything that's really complicated here. It's all the basics, you know, but you've got to do them and you've got to do them consistently every time. And let's wrap up with some numbers. Okay. What are we tracking? We've got all this stuff in place. We know we have to know our numbers. We have to track these things. What are we looking at?
All right. So the biggest KPIs are what's your average ticket? You sold a year. It's going to be hard to do at the beginning. You're just not going to really know the numbers. You can try to guess, but you can try to guess at the beginning, but you're going to need to know your average ticket size. What is your average contract size? Is it 12,000? Is it 15,000? Is it 30,000? Then what's your profit margin? Like, what is it? What's your gross profit? Out of a $10,000 job, are you doing 35%? Out of a $20,000 job, are you doing 35%? Got to know that.
We have to job cost to know that. And
we didn't get into
contractors that aren't job costing, making a huge mistake.
And literally every day, people, every single day, we're not doing this week long. I made that mistake. Oh, every month we'll meet. No, that's not acceptable. Every day that you do a job, it better be job costed at the end of the job. When the receipts come in, you better have an accurate, exact to the dollar, I'm not to the penny, but to the dollar number of what you made on that job every single day. You have to. You can't not do that. You have to do that. And at this point, this level, you're doing it once or twice a week. So it's really easy to do. Proline does all that in the front end. So you know what you think it's going to be profitable at the end. Did you have to pay for a change order? Did you charge a change order? Did you have material return? Did you have more material? Like, you have to do that every single job. Then you have to really have an accurate number of your close rate. People don't do that. They're like, I close 80%. No, you don't. And if you do, you're charging half of what you should charge.
Exactly. You're too cheap.
I understand high-level sales trainers can get 45 to 52% close rate because they have a very aggressive process. That wasn't me. I wanted to work with the people who wanted to work with me. I would show value, and that's it. I see a lot of people get the extra 10% close rate, 15% close rate, because they enforce their will on people. And sales reps don't have to deal with production, because if somebody's resentful of a company that they felt pressured in and the other spouse is mad because they made the decision on the spot, that I never wanted that. I'd rather have a lower close rate, still be super profitable, and have happy customers. So that's just a side note. I think a lot of sales trainers don't see that part, because the husband and the wife was pissed that you let the sales guy sell you in the day one. So that's a whole nother podcast. So know your close rate. 35. We were at highest like 42%, 41%, something like that. You got to know it though. It's really easy. When a new lead comes in, how many proposals do you write for every 100? How many do you actually sell? Not every 10. 10 doesn't really work. You need at least 50 or 100 to actually understand your close rate. If you know that, you're good. You can reverse engineer like you've always taught me, Dave. If you know those three things alone, we'll just start with those. You can do a whole bunch of more KPIs. If you know your close rate, your average ticket size, and your profit margin, you can reverse engineer everything else in your business from the financial side of things. And then you can know when to hire people, what to expect. And like, you have a whole year of data. There's other things you can talk about, but those are the biggest three.
And you need a bookkeeper. You got to do, good bookkeeping. And that's why we like Tisha so much. I mean, get somebody that really understands construction, roofing, construction accounting, because it's different. And you have to have somebody that knows how to do this, how to set the books up, how to set QuickBooks up correctly, because it doesn't come like that out of the box. You've got to have it working the right way. You got to have it consistent. And you've got to get financial statements that you can understand. And you have to learn to understand them, because it's not that complicated. And that's something that I do, you know, is work with contractors to explain what our financial statements are telling us and how we're going to use those to drive our business. And you've got to know the numbers, because, as we know, you got to sell work, you've got to do work, and you've got to keep score. And all three of those legs on our three-legged stool have to be solid. You haven't heard that one in a while, I'm sure. So that's the basics. I think that's what we've got. I think you should start this immediately and get rolling. And after you do that $4 million here in a couple of years, we'll have you back on the show and we'll talk about it.
It'll be fun. Maybe one day. I have other businesses ideas too as well that apply the same principles. This is for any business. You need to understand these kind of things.
We all have great ideas. It's a matter of do we execute?
That's right. But
I think you have to figure out what the, you know, only so much time in the day. So, John DeLaurier, this is awesome stuff, man. I really appreciate it. And always good to see you. Let's keep in touch and hope that leg gets better. And we'll get you back on here and do another show. Thanks for coming, Dave.
It was fun.
All right. Well, that was John. The big takeaway. Roofing skills aren't enough. You have to run it like a business with discipline, systems, and real numbers. And if you're listening and thinking, you know, I need help getting this right, that's what mentoring is for. If you're looking for guidance and accountability to build a more profitable roofing business, let's talk. Head over to theroofercoach.com and schedule a call. All right, we'll see you on the next episode of the Roofer Show podcast.